Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Matthew Michaela. He is the president and CEO of Life Image. Matthew, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
So for the benefit of the listeners, it's always helpful to understand people's journey to the point that they're at. You've obviously had a storied career in this space, and in particular in healthcare. We were talking a little bit about that before. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you arrived at this role and some of the things that got you here.
Sure. I'm a 30-plus year healthcare veteran who started my career early in the health plan world working for payers, which today there's a few very large payers left, but back when I started, there were hundreds and hundreds of different types of health insurers in the country covering different things. So it was a very interesting part of healthcare to kind of cut my teeth and grow up in. I focused after my payer experience in building chronic condition programs, working for one of the largest disease management companies in the world. I spent more than a handful of years on population health, taking some of those therapies, approaches to apply more broadly across the continuum of populations in order to both prevent conditions as well as treat them. A number of different roles in healthcare technology, in pharma and healthcare IT within the hospital system. I helped build and run a care management company focused on international resources and activities, ran a physician practice management company, worked in biopharma in the oncology space here, and I've had the chance to work both for startups that I've done myself, several of them, also worked in the large not-for-profit sector, so understand the regulatory and the governmental influences on healthcare, and also for public companies, where I've been a public company officer. Came to Life Image a handful of years ago, really to help focus on interoperability and available for data of data for patients, right? Solving the kind of technical problems and frankly business model problems that exist in healthcare that prevent medical evidence from being available for clinical decision making and for research, which ultimately, you know, its lack of availability increases costs, decreases quality, and really hurts everyone across the entire system and, frankly, our economy. Life Image has a 11-year history of focusing on interoperability to make that data, that evidence available for thousands of different types of use cases. And so I found that to be really attractive and at least relative for my experience, having had a number of decades looking at healthcare from a variety of different perspectives and experiences, seeing how all that ties together end to end in order to do some really interesting and innovative things.
So as you think about that, I mean, that's a just extraordinary broad set of experiences, both in different areas within healthcare, you know, different types of company. And the one thing that really struck me that sort of seemed to resonate through that was the access to data and the interoperability. Do you see those as the sort of the fundamental building blocks for improving this system that, you know, is just not delivering healthcare, that, or at least the healthcare that we need, that's for sure?
So I think, Nick, or at least the way I think about this, right, is while, you know, the delivery of healthcare, you know, is an art, it really is a science, and there's objectivity related to that. You can't be objective about how to deliver healthcare unless you actually have the medical evidence available to do that. Otherwise, it's a guess. And what we have is a plethora of medical information that's really available, theoretically, potentially available, but doesn't get into the hands of the people who need it in the right form, in the right way, with the right timing, so they can make the best decision. And we see this every single day, whether it's, you know, an oncologist that's trying to decide what chemotherapy regimen to apply to a patient who needs it in a very time-sensitive manner, but not having the genetics report available because it sits somewhere across town and takes 4 days to get to you when you've got to make that treatment decision today. And so they do the best they can with the judgment they have, but it's not really evidence-based in a consistent manner. So this lack of access to data that sits within the system here is just a massive burden on everyone in the system and drives cost up in a tremendous way. Having looked at that, the reason the data is not accessible, right, is for a puzzle piece of rules and frankly, business model, where many constituencies who sit in Nine Healthcare have built very successful businesses and companies by having proprietary data and keeping it proprietary and not sharing it more broadly or making it more transparent. And there's hundreds of use cases and examples where that's ultimately true, that data, which today folks will tell you, right, data is the new oil, right? It is the asset in healthcare. Yep. Right, it is the evidence upon which all performance improvement can be made. And so the business models themselves in our industry, unfortunately, are largely set up in order to create and maintain those barriers, which have nothing to do with ultimately improving quality or lowering cost of the system. And so that is one of the things that's incredibly attractive about LifeImage, is that we don't build proprietary software. We don't use proprietary codes. Right, we focus on interoperability and public standards in everything we do so that we can connect more easily into the broader healthcare ecosystem. And that is one of the most important core values of the organization, recognizing that, you know, in the long run, while companies can build really successful business models and even, you know, huge global enterprises by keeping data captive and creating barriers to entry for competitors, in the long run, it's immoral, and it's the wrong thing to be doing here. And LifeImage's business model is built exactly the opposite, which is to provide that data as quickly as possible and the highest quality as possible to anyone that ultimately needs it for whatever their business, and clinical case is. That lack of data availability, even at that level, right, is just a huge problem and very likely the largest problem that we have. Because if you don't have data, you can't innovate, and you can't build new products and solutions, and you can't make medical decisions, you can't lower costs. It is truly the oil that runs the engine, and we've got to do a lot better with that.
So I couldn't agree more, but there's a part of me as I listen to that, I think, you must feel like you're swimming against an enormous tide, because the huge vested interest in maintaining that sort of control and, the sense that, gosh, if I have control of this data, that allows me to be successful in this marketplace. But, 100% agree. Lord Kelvin is quoted most frequently, although I think it actually predates him, that without data, you can't make informed decisions. That's a core component. But You seem like an outlier to everybody else, where you're pushing against that, saying, no, we want to be open. How does that feel? I mean, that's got to be a difficult place to be, right?
Sure. I mean, healthcare is difficult and challenging for everyone, right? Whether you work in a payer and have a public perception that your job is to deny care, right? That's not people inside health insurance companies go to work every day to do. They're going to help people and make it better. Or you're a software company or a technology company, in some regards, are making a new diagnostic device or a drug, and people can criticize drug companies because they make so much money and why is it so expensive. So everybody in healthcare is under pressure. You're a physician that's being challenged to see more patients in order to make sure that there's enough revenue inside your hospital so that you don't have to fire nurses. Right, we're all pressurized in a system that is incredibly inefficient and incredibly important. So, sure, in our aspect of healthcare, focusing on interoperability to provide access to medical data, sure, it's a big challenge and it's like pushing a rock uphill. But I think we're all trying to push that rock uphill in healthcare. In our own ways.
So tell us a little bit about LifeImage. I mean, the first and obvious sort of aspect to that is that, it's images. And from a a contribution to the space of science and progress in terms of delivering the right insights at the right time, all of those elements together. I think we've made certainly some of the most significant advances in that imaging space, and you have some of that, but you've taken it further than that, right? So what's going on at Life Image, and how have you started to sort of address some of those problems with this open source or open approach?
Yeah, so Life Image is we're approaching our 12th year now, and when Life Image was born, the technical problem that ultimately we were solving was, how do you move a medical image 150 feet across Fremont Street in Boston, Massachusetts,
right,
between two departments of a single hospital in less than 6 calendar days, because patients couldn't get appointments for a week,
right,
and get their cancer diagnosis and treatment plans in place, because the state of the art was producing a CD with the image on it, putting it into the mail room and routing it 40 miles away to then come back a few days later to go into a mail room, into a human being's inbox, to then be uploaded in a CD, and then 15% of the time not having the CD work anyway. And wow. And a decade ago, it would seem that that should have been a pretty simple problem. We did have email. We did have ways of digitizing data. But it wasn't, right? Because imaging itself is incredibly technically complex, right? Every manufacturer, in many regards, creates some level of proprietary standards or problem. And so Life Image took this challenge on when no one else wanted to, pushing that rock uphill, where companies were, in many regards, we'll say, making their data interoperable was a secondary concern for them. I'll be kind. And so we solved that problem, which required a tremendous amount of energy of figuring out how to connect into proprietary systems, into devices across all modalities, which was incredibly unique in healthcare, right? If you think about how, whether it's imaging or non-imaging, as software is built in the healthcare setting, tends to be built by therapeutic area. You'll have a cardiology company or a radiology company or a company focused on dermatology or orthopedics. But that's not how healthcare is delivered. As a patient, you see multiple specialists,
right,
and go to multiple places. So our business model required us to connect into all of these proprietary systems, devices, et cetera, and figure out how to get data out, not impair the data, so keep it in its diagnostic quality at the highest level, and figuring out how to get it somewhere else. And so while we initially started solving this problem inside hospitals, very quickly expanded to, well, what about all the referral hospitals and centers and outpatient and specialty, et cetera, where patients have experiences and have data. So today, Life Image is, while we were born in the imaging space and are the only company on the planet that can actually access medical imaging from any manufacturer, from any device, with any software version, in any modality, and access it and keep it in diagnostic quality, combine it with other data and get it into the workflow of providers so that they understand and perceive that data as if it came from their own institution. We are not just imaging. So, you know, a number of years ago, we recognized that while imaging and the therapeutic areas that it affects, so it's incredibly essential as a piece of medical information, right? You can't do anything with oncology, right? If you don't have the imaging, you don't know whether your tumor is grown or shrunk. In MS, in orthopedics, et cetera, and if you look at science today, there's virtually not a, in medicine today, there's virtually not a single expensive medical diagnosis and therapy that can be applied without imaging. And it's one of the fastest growing diagnostic classes in both cost and frequency across the board. So we handle imaging, but recognizing that you need more than that, we actually access and help support and manage medical data of any type. So we can and do routinely access genomics and labs and pharmacy data and claims data and EHR data, right, out of all of these different variety of data sources. So we've got the ability to access it and move it where it needs to go for thousands of use cases. So today, we connect to about 10,000 facilities in the United States. We have roughly 85 to 90% of every academic medical center uses LifeImage and tertiary care facility in the United States. So we are where their high volume activity is, where the data lives in the most complicated settings and workflows. We connect to about 60,000 overseas clinics where we're helping move data. About 200,000 physicians a month are using our platform in the United States, and we touch around, well, more than 10 million unique patients a month. We're accessing their information on their behalf or their providers behalf to do something with it. So today, we're the largest evidence-based network on the globe that's accessing medical information and, in essence, figuring out where it was born or where it lives and getting it to where it actually can help a clinician diagnose and treat, where it can help a patient have control of their own data, to a life sciences or company that might be developing drugs or doing research, et cetera, right? So we sit as this interoperable clinical network that, and if you think of us in a non-clinical setting, right, we're a Verizon or a Comcast, where we are the network that touches any kind of device, phone, telephone, television screen. It doesn't matter what those devices are. And we move data from where it is born or lives to somewhere else for a use case. And that use case might be research or building AI here, or helping move a head CT and radiology report from an ambulance or a helicopter for a patient that's having a stroke to their level one trauma center. So by the time they roll in the door, the patient treatment has already begun. And so that's how we operate kind of in our ecosystem. And while we predominantly connect into hospitals and providers, since that's where patients are seen, we also connect into health plans and life sciences companies and research companies and AI companies and telehealth companies and folks that are trying to make medical decisions around payment for pre-authorization or concurrent review for high-cost medical procedures where they need that data. So one of the small insights, so to speak, that we had at LifeImage many years ago, or a handful of years ago, was that while we had deep, deep roots in medical imaging itself, and that was incredibly useful, if we broadened our thought process around it's not just imaging, it's actually evidence of all types, then it opened up this wide ecosystem planet-wide of folks that say, well, if I'm just thinking of this as what do I need to do for diagnosis, treatment, or research, then this is the data I need that's beyond imaging, right? Small right. Insight and big impact.
Absolutely. So for those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and today I'm talking to Matthew Michaela. He's the president and CEO of LifeImage. We were just talking about the sort of fundamental nature of connecting the pipes, as it were, all of that data that sort of started with image. And I love this, you know, the step over from, you know, it's not just an image, that sort of, you know, one aspect. And, you know, as I noted it down, you talked about all of these other pieces of data that you're now pulling together. You know, we're in a very data intensive business. You know, we fall only second to astronomy in terms of the amount of data that we're currently generating. So you're dealing with huge amounts of data. And you're processing it. You're not just sitting there as a you know, server of this information. You do more than that. Tell us a little bit about the intelligence that goes into that activity. What is it that you're sort of doing to provide the additional value?
So the work itself, right? The technology work itself is basically two components, right? One is very complex integration activities. It's very hard, right, to integrate into this wide variety of data silos that are pro-offered in the marketplace by manufacturers where they have the intent of not allowing you to connect, right? And that work, right, is just down and dirty healthcare IT work that you have to have smart people who understand and can work backwards from the answer to try to figure out what you need to do. Then there is the running of the network itself. And LifeImage was born before there was Amazon Cloud for healthcare, before there was GCP, right? We were born in the same places that actually large hospitals exist today, which are their own call centers and server farms and not utilizing the cloud. And so our original solutions were that, and we had to build a high performance network in that regard. Today, it's even more complicated because we've got customers in every environment. So we have to operate hybrid network technology that operates within our own cloud, within our customers' environments, on Amazon, on GCP, on Azure, and keep it all in sync across this large global network at very high performance. Because if I'm, we were talking a little bit earlier, moving some information for a stroke patient that's in transit, I can't go down. My network can't go down.
Right.
Right. And I might be moving a form of data in the form of imaging and a packet of surrounding medical information with the patient that would be massive size, right? And so when you think about the durability of my network, you know, Amazon, as big and powerful as they are, when you pull up their website, they're putting a thumbnail in, right, for an image, right? We might have a gigabyte of data because I'm moving an MRI that might actually be 2,400 slices in motion in a set of WAV files. It's just huge and complex, and we've got to make that work. So as a network company itself, right, there's a huge set of technology challenges that are associated with that. While you're running down the, you're rolling down the track with this train, and everybody in your system is creating a new device or a new approach to do it or a new healthcare standard that we've got to understand, see, and then absorb into our, you know, environment. And so there are those kinds of technical challenges. But with the data itself, right, depending upon your use case here, you've got to be able to, you know, access the data, right? And I've kind of outlined just a second ago the integration and network requirements to be able to do that, putting aside contracts and BAAs and regulatory stuff, et cetera, right? But to be able to actually access it, then you've got to be able to govern it, right? You have to keep it secure. You have to be able that you can trace its lineage back. You have to make sure that you don't degrade the data in any way, since it's this data, people make life and death decisions based upon that here. Then you've got to be able to kind of curate the data as a category of things, right? Which is normalizing it. Sometimes it's anonymizing it. Sometimes it's de-identifying it, depending upon what the use case is. And then you've got to be able to take that data and in a sophisticated way, link it. Because as we were discussing a little bit earlier, it's, you know, hugely important for diagnosis and treatment use cases to see an image itself, right? If I'm a cancer patient taking a chemotherapy drug, and I go back in to visit the physician, they're going to want to know, did my tumor shrink or did it grow? I can't do that without imaging. That's hugely important. But what I also want to know is I have to link it to my pharmacy data set so I know what chemotherapy drug was prescribed and in what dose and what time frame. I have to tie it in potentially to my genetics source of data, which is entirely different, that tells me what my family history and how I may react and what risk factors, et cetera, et cetera. So the ability to take this, these complex sets of data that you've accessed, that you've governed, that you curated, and link them together is what ultimately people need in order to either build AI or to make medical decisions or to do research or to evaluate drugs or devices here and treating patients, right? So it's that level of complexity that the industry is maturing to. And with the addition of huge amounts of data, of data types, it makes it even more valuable.
I understood. So, you know, clearly tremendously sort of central to the sort of sharing of information born out of a necessity that, you know, it's almost hard to hear that when you talk about that 150 feet to get this image across. And, you know, those of us with long memories can remember that just from personal experiences. I can remember that and bringing my laptop to actual interactions. And then, you know, obviously the governance and the management of that, and then the growth of this through technology that didn't exist. I mean, I think you created much of that as you went through that journey, but now things are sort of changing. In the remaining minute or so, any thoughts about where this is going?
I think it's all going in the right direction, right? The the availability of, you know, massive computational power, the movement of information to the cloud, which creates standardization, and frankly, probably more importantly, consumer demand for improved cost quality and for them to have control of their medical information in a way that they have control of everything else and all other data in their lives. Those movements are going to help solve this problem across the board. I don't have any illusions, it's not 5 years, but over the course of a decade and plus, because again, we're still using fax machines and CDs in medicine, adoption takes a while, but those large forces, and especially the consumer-driven activity here that just is demanding change, makes me very, very optimistic about where we're headed in the next few decades.
Fantastic. So let's close with that, the fact that we're still using faxes. It's still a tragedy, but it's a functional utility that works. As usual, we've run out of time. It just remains for me to thank you for joining me today. Thanks for joining me on the show.
No, thank you very much for the opportunity, Nick. Appreciate it and look forward to connecting again.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, The Incrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, The Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.